We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From Pod World Headquarters, this is the Carolina Insider from Learfield.
We're back. Time for another edition of the Carolina Insider. Jones and Adam here with you. And we have a big time show. We have double guests. We have 5-second challenge. We've got Georgia State preview. We've got a champions watch. Adam has a list. What glorious day of the week could handle such a heavy load of wonderfulness? Oh, there's only one. And that's Friday.
It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get
Adam, big time Friday show. Double guests.
I'm excited about one of the interviews because I really haven't heard it yet. So I'm looking forward to hearing that one.
Right. So we are going to play you the audio from our video pod interview from this week with Claudia Dickey, starting keeper. That's what the soccer heads call it.
Sure.
Adam, for the Tar Heels women's soccer team. That is the interview where Adam was flying blind a little bit because his earpiece wasn't working properly, and so he didn't know what we were talking about in any form or fashion, but just a true pro that he is, he powered through.
That's why when Claudia Dickey says, "What a stupid, ignorant question," and I kind of chuckle.
And Adam goes, like,
yes.
Anson Dorrance is great. You're right.
Thank you, Claudia. I appreciate that.
So you'll hear the audio of that. You may have already heard or seen that interview. That's all right. We're going to give you another one, too. Adam and I had a chance to catch up with Tar Heel super senior Tamon Fox. And, Adam, we burned through some topics in this interview.
Tamon Fox, very interesting guy. Very timely, too. We talked to Tamon Fox, and allegedly, Lawrence Taylor coming to the game tomorrow.
That is a possibility, yes.
Look, Lawrence Taylor tweeted like 3 days ago that he thought he'd be at the game. Yeah. Basically locking it in.
Yeah. I mean, we talked to Tamon Fox about football, about art, about tattoos, about his brother. We're all over the place.
Yeah.
So I think you'll enjoy it. Taman's a great dude, and we had a lot of fun talking with him. So both those interviews coming up. The 5-second challenge has been a little slow getting out of the gate. But I feel like today is the day that we really lock it in and have a great one. No pressure, Adam. You're asking the question.
I'm scared to even say how I think you will perform because you've said you think I'd do some kind of reverse psychology. Yeah. And last time, someone bumbled the question.
Yeah.
So we're just plowing straight ahead with this week's edition.
It's going to be great.
No expectations at all.
Nah. Adam has a list. We are, by the way, we're like on, Miles is on like meme fire right now on Twitter.
Can I tell you something?
Sure.
So on Wednesday, he tweeted out the meme with the guy from Blue's Clues.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was the guy from Blue's Clues.
Oh, boy, Adam.
I never watched Blue's Clues.
Well, I didn't either, but I mean, I had seen this. I had already seen the original video that prompted the meme.
I had not. So I saw what Miles tweeted, and I kind of chuckled to myself like I do when Claudia Dickey says something inappropriate. And I thought, oh, that's nice, Miles. And then at dinner that evening, my son said, I sent you the video from the Blue's Clues guys. So I'm playing it and I'm watching it. I'm like, wait a minute. That's Miles's meme guy. That's not the Blue's Clues guy. That's Miles's meme guy. And then it all made sense.
Yeah. See, when everybody's zigging, Adam's zagging. He's going to understand it in reverse order.
Yeah, that's right. It's like Memento. Everything's happening in reverse. But people really got emotional about that Blue's Clues video. And then I understood Miles so much better.
Yeah.
Good job, Miles. That was a good one.
Plus, Tar Heels are kicking off against Georgia State. I mean, depending on when you're listening to this, it could be hours from now, as far as we know.
You could be at the tailgate right now. Yeah. What's up? Pass me some chicken.
Yeah. Chicken leg bar's been set pretty high from Lee Pace. So.
Are these the Pace wings?
So just understand that if you're going to pass me a chicken leg, it's better be good. So how in the world are we able to do all of this, you may ask?
Grit.
Grit and GoPuff. We order. We know that Adam's son, we're still waiting on the review.
As am I.
We're going to order our stuff from GoPuff. You're not going to go to the store in the middle of this game against Georgia State, but what if you're watching the game and all of a sudden you realize, like, ooh, I'm out of X. Whatever it could be. Not X. They don't have that at GoPuff.
I'm out of fill in the blank.
I'm out of fill in the blank.
GoPuff, Jones Angel told me you carried this. Mr. Angel, we'd like to have a few words with you.
So for possibly the final time, we appreciate GoPuff sponsorship. They're great on game day, but it doesn't have to be game day. They've got snacks, drinks, cleaning stuff, school supplies, tons more. And they have a promo code. I always feel so powerful when I use a promo code.
Yeah.
Always. Like you get to the point and it's about to check out. It's like, do you have a promo code? It's like, oh, yes, I do.
I'm not some commoner who pays full price.
Yeah. I'm going to type, in this case, varsity into GoPuff, and I'm going to get $10 off my first two orders. Just type varsity, V-A-R-S-I-T-Y, right there at checkout. $10 off your first two orders. Order minimums may apply and offer valid through January 1st, 2022. I do. I feel so tough when I use that promo code.
Yeah.
Makes me feel great.
And a little smarter than everybody
else. That's right. Do you ever go, okay, I'm about to check out, I'll like Google like,
oh, heck yeah,
website, whatever, promo code September.
Yep. It used to be easier and
you could find
them a lot easier.
Yeah, now internet's gotten smarter.
These
about it.
Search engines have wised up as they continue on their path to take over the world.
Before we get to the Georgia State preview, Adam, I was out of it on Monday when we did the show for Tuesday. We had a lot going on. Everything was happening. And I totally forgot to bring up something that I wanted to bring up. And that is this commercial that has been running on College Football Saturdays already for not a sponsor of the pod, but it rhymes with Bapplebees.
Jason Talon.
Yeah. You know which one I'm talking about?
I know which one you're talking about.
So it's gotten a lot of negative feedback online, right?
About the song
I
or
think
the dancing?
Just the general attitude of the commercial.
Yes, everything about it.
Yeah. Can I tell you something, Adam?
Sure.
I kind of like it.
The song or the dancing?
It's on a date night.
Well, I mean, you know that was a song before.
No, yeah, I know. And it's a TikTok song. Trust me. I am so hip on TikTok songs, Adam. You can't even hang in my TikTok stratosphere right now.
Yeah, well, and aren't there a couple different versions? Because there's a couple different dancing groups that I feel like I've seen on that commercial.
Girl, I got you. I kind of like it.
You know they had to put the Oreo shake back on the menu.
Just because of that song?
Yeah.
Dude, that's when you're powering through, if that's the case with that song. You have taken over. So I have a question, and I don't know this answer. Like, did the song, was there work with Apple, like, when the song's being written, did he work with Applebee's and be like, excuse me, Bapplebees? Or was it like CEO of big family restaurant goes, wait a second, this TikTok song says our name.
I think the song predated the Bapplebees work. The song's by Walker Hayes, who my wife really likes, probably because he's nice in the community, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I think because I've heard some interview with him or something where he said the song was already out, and then his daughter said something to him like, we could make a TikTok dance out of this. And so she taught him the TikTok dance.
Kids today, so smart.
And then once you get on TikTok, it's a small step to being on a Bapplebees commercial.
Maybe we should start doing TikTok dances, Adam.
Well, you've already done one.
Right, I have done one.
I feel like we would do a great job.
You know, there's some old guy on TikTok whose like whole shtick is that he's old and doing TikTok. So that market.
He stole my thing.
Bad news, Adam. Market's already cornered.
What rhymes with GoPuff? I don't think we want to use the line when you're out of eggs on Saturday.
We'll get some marketing gurus on that.
Well, okay.
By the way, I saw the GoPuff store the other day. I said, oh, there's GoPuff.
A brick and mortar store?
Yeah.
They have a brick and mortar store?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Saw it in Chapel Hill.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's where they keep all the goods?
I guess.
Right there?
I don't know how it works, I guess.
Why do they need a
brick and mortar store? I just know it does work and it's awesome.
Well, that changes my whole thought process. I thought it was an imaginary thing that had drivers. And you place the order, and then Johnny Driver would go to somewhere else and pick up the stuff and bring it to you.
Unless I was hallucinating, possible.
Were you out of X, or did you have plenty at this point in time?
Unless I was hallucinating, yes, I saw one.
Imagine what they must have there.
Yeah, well, I know the answer to that, Adam. The answer is snacks, drinks, cleaning stuff, school supplies, and tons more.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, so go ahead and get your GoPuff order in so you're stocked up and ready to go for this weekend. Carolina, Georgia State in Keenan Stadium, Saturday, 7:30. Both these teams coming off games where I know they didn't feel like they played well. You know, obviously, we know the Tar Heel story. Georgia State got blown out by Army, 43-10. I think it's dangerous, Adam, to assume that that is what Georgia State is as far as quality of team. Because this is a team that went to a bowl game a year ago. They won in Tennessee, in Knoxville, 2 years ago. Last year in that crazy season, you know, they beat East Carolina. They were really close with Louisiana and with App State, who are the two best programs right now in their conference, the Sun Belt. And most importantly, 20 of their 22 starters are back from that year, last year. And in the game against Army, they were without five starters. Now, still a little unclear about which guys may or may not be back, or if they are back, how much they can play. So clearly, if they're going to be down multiple starters, that affects their team as it would any team. But just in looking at and getting ready for this game, they've got some dudes, right? I mean, Hardrick Willis, 12 sacks in his career, 18 career tackle for loss. He's right next to Dante Wilson on that defensive line, who has more than 20 tackles for loss and almost 9 sacks in his career. So, I mean, they have some players, particularly in that defensive front, that I think are pretty good. They've got a really good group of wide receivers. One of them, Sam Pinckney, was one of the guys who didn't play against Army. But they feel like they have the best wide receiver core in the Sun Belt. They've talked a lot about that. They've got veteran guys, again, who have had success in the past. They ran the ball really well, as well last year. Didn't run it great against Army. They also got to the quarterback a bunch. They had 35 sacks last year as a team. Carolina, by the way, had 36. So, I mean, just – and both of those numbers were top 10 in the nation. So, is Carolina better than Georgia State? Yes, I think the Tar Heels are better than Georgia State. Should Carolina win this game if the Tar Heels play up to their capabilities? Yes. But this isn't Mercer or Western Carolina or somebody like that coming in here where you have a pretty good feel that the Tar Heels are going to win. Again, I think Carolina is the better team, but Georgia State is capable. They are capable of coming in here and making things very, very difficult and trying to sneak out of here with a W.
They have some individual talent. A lot of all Sun Belt selections, all-conference players. And you got to remember, Army's weird.
Yeah, it's hard to play Army, no matter how much time you have to get ready.
And if they get ahead on you, some teams will just sort of phone it in.
Right.
Because the Army just keeps doing what Army does, and you realize you can't stop it, and there's nothing you can do. They're not normal, and you get frustrated that they're not playing quote-unquote real football, and things go south quickly. So I do think they're better than 43-10 losers to Army, but I think Carolina's better than 17-10 losers to Virginia Tech.
I mean, a couple things that I will be interested in watching this week. The wide receiver position is one. Both who is out there at the wide receiver position and their ability to be successful and to get some separation in their routes. Because not that it was all the problem, not all of Carolina's problems offensively weren't that against Virginia Tech, but I felt like a lot of Carolina's issue was the timing of things being thrown off by a combination of some struggles to get open in from the wide receiver spot and the offensive line having trouble sometimes right from the go, and sometimes, you know, you can only block for so long. And again, I think we talked about this on Monday. It felt like Sam Howell a lot of times was, even his body was like ready to throw, and then he just couldn't quite do it because he didn't think it was the right move. And so I think that is the wide receiver spot and the timing of the Tar Heel offense will be something that I will be interested to see if it looks more fluid this week, because clearly it did not look very fluid a week ago.
Everything to do with that offensive line is something to keep a close eye on. Who's playing where? What spots do Stacey Searles and Mac Brown decide to put those players in? Who's available? Is Brian Anderson available? Not really sure. And what kind of job do they do, both in the running game and in pass protection?
Carolina's defense was a lot better, and we talked about this, in the second half of that game compared to the first. I never really thought, though, they were super disruptive. Like, they were much better, but Carolina needs it to be a disruptive defense, I think. And so, you know, this is a team. Now, again, you got a bunch of offensive linemen back, all 5 starters back for Georgia State. So, you know, these aren't brand new guys who are going to be on that offensive line for the Panthers. And they're going to have some success because they're good players too. But, you know, can Carolina create some more havoc defensively up front? It's something that I think the Tar Heels would like to do and probably need to do moving forward this season.
And Virginia Tech didn't take a ton of chances. That was
right.
Their
whole
approach.
Very conservative. Yes,
we're gonna grind the clock out. We're going to try to run as few plays as we can while running as much clock as we can. And I think Georgia State probably doesn't have the personnel to follow that same game plan. They're going to need to take a chance or two. And when they do, can the Tar Heel defense take advantage?
And again, both these teams, I mean, Georgia State only gained 177 yards in the entire game against Army.
Woof, boo.
Yeah. 48 on the ground, 129 through the air. So not very good. But I think they're, again, I think they're better than that. Army
quarterback's a dual threat.
Yeah, guy. And a good player. You know, he was responsible last year for 24 touchdowns, 17 in the air and 7 on the ground. So he can play. His name is Cornelius Brown the IV, and they call him Quad. And his number's number 4. I like that. Just lean into it. Army ran 71 plays, and 67 of them were runs. And Virginia Tech was over 60% run against Carolina as well. So, yeah, both these teams looking for better performances. I think they both will play better, would be my guess. I'm sure they have both been focused in, working hard this week. I would expect both teams to look better this week than they did last week. Interesting, Sean Elliott, the head coach of Georgia State, knows a couple of guys on Carolina's staff very well. Stacy Searles, the offensive line coach, Lonnie Galloway, the wide receivers coach, Jay Bateman, of course, Carolina's defensive coordinator. In fact, Coach Elliott said he really credited Stacy Searles for being the guy who kind of got him into coaching in the first place. So there's been, I think, some fun back and forth kind of behind the scenes from the coaches this week. They know each other, like each other. They've been on staffs together before. And I think this will be, again, a much better played game for both these teams.
And I think if both teams play the same amount, equal, better
right.
than what they did in their first game, then the Tar Heels should be happy. I think one thing you've eliminated the chance of is the Tar Heels looking past Georgia State to Virginia.
Right.
I think the loss to Virginia Tech ensured this game has Carolina's complete attention because in every element of the game, Carolina needs to be better.
One last thing. You want some weird sequence that happened in the Georgia State Army game, just for the heck of it? So their punter, Georgia State's punter, Michael Haynes, does a lot of rugby-style kicks where he'll run out, kind of boot it real low, and it's rolling on the ground. They had, in a sequence, he did that, and it either hit off an Army guy or was mishandled and Georgia State recovered, but it got called back for holding on Georgia State. So they did it again. Army muffed it again. Georgia State got called for holding again. In the same sequence, twice in a row in the same, what essentially was the same play. Army muffed punts, but Georgia State got called for holding on both of them, and so they didn't get possession either time, even though they recovered the muffed punt both times.
That's funny when it happens to Georgia
State. Right, that's crazy.
When it happens to the Tar Heels.
No, not funny at all. But, I mean, football. Wacky things still happen on every single week, Adam.
See, the ball's not round, so that's you don't know how it's going to bounce.
That's right. Okay, Adam, anything else on the football side of things? Sold out. Of course, it's the 20th anniversary of 9/11. And so we mentioned this on Tuesday's show about some cool things, honoring first responders and things like that going to happen in Keenan. So I think that will hopefully add a nice special touch to what's a fun evening in total. Gosh, hard to believe that's 20 years ago. Such an impactful day and one that anybody our age or, you know, that if you remember that day, certainly has changed things both globally and I think individually. I mean, everybody remembers where they were and what they were feeling.
I thought it was impressive that Mac Brown said he was going to talk to his team this week about all the things you just said, because they honestly, many of them were not alive.
Sure.
And so the way we live now is the only way they've known. So they don't understand some of these things that are second nature to us. So I thought that was good that he said he intended to explain to them the significance of this and make sure they understood what had occurred.
Okay, Adam, anything else football-wise before we get to our interviews?
No.
Okay, so before we get to those interviews, let me remind you that we are brought to you by LS Tractor. Don't let your outside chores or projects cause you to miss the game this weekend or any Tar Heel game this year. whether you need to, say it with me, mow it, till it, move it. Let LS Tractor help make short work of those chores. And their current offer, a free loader with your purchase of a tractor. Buy a tractor, get a loader. That's right, free loader with the purchase of a tractor. You know a deal this good isn't going to last forever, though. So visit lstractorusa.com, lstractorusa.com for more. LS Tractor, you can now do more for less. All right, let's get to our interviews. We will start with Claudia Dickey. See if you can tell that Adam has no idea what's going on during the entire interview.
How would that be different than the rest of the
pod? That's right. People are going to be like, yeah, just normal, normal day. So that is the audio of our Claudia Dickey interview from the video pod. And then we'll go from that right into our conversation with Tamon Fox, a brand spanking new interview for you with Tamon. So dual interviews. We'll come back. 5 second challenge and more here on the Carolina Insider.
Look, our guest today not only can beat you on the pitch, she'll beat you on the basketball court. She'll beat you evidently on the baseball diamond. She'll beat you pretty much anywhere you want to, but you probably know her best, goalkeeper for Carolina's women's soccer team, Claudia Dickey. Claudia, thanks so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And so you are just the most versatile athlete, or one of the most versatile athletes on campus. Has that always been the case? You just roll the balls out, you can play whatever it is?
Yeah, my mom always said it was a joke that anything with the ball I loved. I think that's just like my escape from everything. So I've always, and my brother would always compete with me. So,
all right, I have a question. I'm getting right into it.
Okay.
How nervous do you get on PKs? Like when you're back, if and you've scored on PKs before too,
yeah,
which I want to get to. How nervous do you get on PKs?
I wouldn't say, like, I feel like when I get nervous, I don't do as well. So I don't know if you can still me. But I wouldn't say that I really get nervous. I kind of just don't really show any emotion. I think that's a way of helping me, because like the Stanford goalie when we played them was very like out with how she felt about everything. And I just feel like I'm kind of the opposite. Like if it gets to that point, I'm not happy. Like I hate PKs. I don't really like taking them, but I wouldn't say that's the most nervous. I probably get more nervous playing against like really good teams.
You don't show it. How come? I mean, how do you never, like, I would never know that you're nervous. I agree. Like every time I've watched you play, I'm like, man, she is like, I bet she's mean. Like she's just like, yeah, she's like just blank faced and going at it.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't, as I've gotten older, I think as I've been here and more experience, I haven't gotten as nervous.
Right.
I think freshman year or sophomore year was a lot more nervous for me, but I think personally, like, I don't think I play well when I'm nervous. So it's kind of like everybody was really nervous before the game Sunday, and I was just like, it's just a game. Like, it's the same as every other game. You just show up and like you do the best you can. Like, after, obviously there's something special about it, but just to me, it's like there's nothing special about this. Obviously it's a good team. Every team we play is a good team, so just take it one, like, day by day, kind of. Don't get too nervous about things you can't control.
Okay. I know these are different sports, but Jones currently,
yeah,
is in this battle with Aaron Mattson,
mm-hmm,
in which he has volunteered to attempt to stop 10 shots.
No. She's going to take 10 shots, and I said, I'm trying to stop just one.
Yeah,
like, I'm just trying to stop,
yeah,
one of 10 shots.
Yeah, you're going to stop 10 shots from Aaron Mattson. So do you, yeah, have any pointers for Jones in this one-on-one goal scoring or stopping situation that could be beneficial to him?
I mean, she's pretty ridiculous. Every goal that I watch her score is just, I mean, I know nothing about field hockey. That's probably the only sport I've ever not played. But just sometimes you get lucky. You just have to guess.
Yeah.
And it might hurt. Those balls hurt when you get hit with them too. So
that doesn't make me feel
padding.
Better. That doesn't make me feel better, although I did like that sometimes you get lucky. I think that's my best shot.
That's your best hope for sure.
Yeah, sometimes I get very lucky, yeah.
So women's soccer got a big win over Stanford on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Now, you got a yellow card in this match, is that right?
I did, yeah.
What happened?
The ref was just not not being the best. I was defending my teammates. Now I always joke about getting a yellow card because I think I've had like one in my life, but it's just when the refs get really bad, and they like sometimes they are, which I said something I shouldn't have, obviously, but I don't regret it. I think Anson's a little mad about it, but
do you ever, I mean, okay, so you're, I mean, when it's all said and done, you're by yourself there, and I know you've got defenders in front of you. I get all that, but you're the last line of defense. Like, does it take somebody with a little different kind of attitude to be that last person that's defending the goal?
Yeah, I mean, I've slowly learned that I like to overthink things, and when I overthink things, I get scored on, or like I don't let things go. Like, if you can't tell, like after goal, like I just want to like break something. Like, it makes me so mad to get scored on because I feel like that's my one job. So I think something I've learned, even though I don't necessarily show it sometimes or act like I do, I think just like forgetting about it, moving on, because the more you think about it, the more likely you will like make another mistake. So I think it takes a special person for sure. Everybody says goalkeepers are weird. I would like to think that I'm more of a normal one, but I think in my own way, I'm a little weird. And especially playing goalkeeper, you got to be a little bit different.
Adam, maybe you could be a goalkeeper. They're a little weird. That sounds like it's right up your alley.
I think it's weird plus athletic. That's the combination we're looking for.
You're missing one of those two key.
I got a couple questions about the match before Stanford Northwestern. So the first one is, you only face one shot in that match. When you're back there for 90 minutes and you only face one shot, be completely honest, were you paying 100% attention the entire time?
No. I even in the Stanford game, like I think I had two shots, one of them was a goal. It's just, it's not necessarily like the teams that we play, like that I'm not getting action or they're not good. It's just like our defense played really well in the Northwestern game. So I think I still only had like 10 passes or something. But no, like the fans will talk to me and my head's just in a game like that. I don't know what I was thinking about, probably what I was going to have for dinner, but it wasn't necessarily the whole game.
Now, Adam alluded to this. You came to Carolina as a two-sport athlete, women's soccer and women's basketball. If it's all on the line, you got to win one game, and where do you have the most confidence in yourself, women's soccer or basketball? Soccer, basketball?
I would have said in my prime, which was high school, probably basketball. Because the thing that I struggle with sometimes is like in a game like Northwestern, I'm the one that touches it one time. Like I was a point guard in basketball, so like I always got to facilitate. I got to like do the plays, control, and just like be a leader. But I think in goal, it's always been harder for me because I do so little that when I do make a mistake, it's very, very obvious. So I think I enjoy playing basketball. Like just, I didn't necessarily enjoy it here with the 5-hour practices plus soccer. But I think if I were to just go out and play like 1v1 with someone, it'd be basketball because it's just more fun. Like it's hard to play 1v1 in soccer as a goalkeeper. So I think I like soccer more now than I did when I had to quit basketball, because I didn't realize like how much it meant to me until I decided that. But like I see a bigger future for me in soccer anyway, so I think I would have to choose soccer if someone was really asking me, but basketball is still a big part of me. Just wish I got to play it more.
But hidden talent, Claudia can also play baseball. And it sounds like you weren't just, they weren't sticking you out in the outfield like they used to tell me every position is important. You were playing pitcher and shortstop. How fun was it to strike those little punks out?
Oh, it was great until my dad always says, I loved it until I was 14, because then the boys would start hitting me with the baseball, like when I was batting. So I think up until that point, it was so fun. Like it was just something else to do and something with the ball. But it's always fun to beat boys and things. But I would say my favorite other than those two actually is tennis now. Like I wish I had played tennis. That's my biggest regret in life.
I got Claudia said, well, you know, I may try field hockey, I may try lacrosse, yeah, whatever. Before we let you go, Claudia, it seems like from the outside that just the women's soccer program here at Carolina would just be so much fun to be a part of. And I know it's serious and intense and you guys train hard and I get all that, but it just seems like it's a very fun group. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think coming here was one of the best decisions of my life. Like, just the people and the culture here, and everybody that leaves always talks about like how special it is here, and you realize it. Actually, I don't think you realize it until you leave. Like, my best friend was Alessia, who left for England last year, and like, just like, as I've gotten older and like people have left, and you just realize how much everybody on the team means to you, like the coaching staff, all the parents. Like, the parents do everything with us before and after games. Anton and Damon and Dukar and Heather just make it, like, everything's fun all the time. Like, we look forward to go to practice every day unless it's 95 degrees. But I think just being here and trying to acknowledge the fact that it is so special, and like, trying not to regret anything before I leave.
A lot of different ways to quantify how good somebody is at something, but I feel like this is one of the easiest possible ways to quantify Tamon Foxx's football ability. Look, he's got more sacks than Lawrence Taylor at Carolina.
Yeah, that's right.
That's all I need to say.
Take that, LT.
So, Tamon, congratulations on moving past a pretty good pass rusher on Friday night against Virginia Tech. What does that feel like to be in that company?
Oh, yeah, thank you, man. I'll just say the LT is more than just a pretty good pass rusher. Everybody knows he's one of the greatest of all time. But it's just awesome to see my name up there with his and, you know, surpass his, and just knows I'm on the right track.
Tamon, I couldn't believe this when I saw this. Your first year at Carolina was 2016. Mitch Trubisky was the quarterback that year. Tamon, so you had the option of coming back for this extra season. Why was it eventually that you decided to return to Carolina?
Yeah, so my decision came all the way up to the last game, the very last snap of the game. You know, I just didn't like the way we ended off as a team. I just felt like we had a lot of great things headed for us this year, so I wanted to come back and be a part of that.
Was that a hard one? Was it hard to do? Because, I mean, I know at some point I'm sure you're ready to take that next step as well. So, I mean, what kind of things were you juggling trying to make this choice?
Yeah, it was definitely a hard decision, but I think at the end of the day, I feel like if I came back, I'd be able to help myself more.
Yeah.
Just being able to get to the next level by coming back and getting more tape.
What do the young guys, like the freshmen and sophomores, say that makes you realize, man, these guys are like 8 years old. How are they so young?
Yeah, the worst thing that they tell me is that they was in middle school when I first got here.
No one wants to hear that.
Was it difficult to sack the dinosaurs?
Yeah.
What makes you a good pass rusher? Like, a lot of people are good at tackling or good at other parts of defense, but I think there's something special about being a pass rusher. What makes you good at it?
Yeah, I just always had a knack for it ever since I first started playing football in eighth grade. But I think it's just all the work and preparation I put in to get to this point. You know, I always focus on my pass rush as being the top thing that I'm good at. I try to be good at everything, but I know pass rush is my bread and butter.
What's that like? Okay, so Carolina runs a base 3-4, but sometimes that outside guy's down too. And so you've played with your hand on the ground some. You've been a linebacker, outside backer as well. I know Coach Bateman talked about the fact that he wants you to be standing up as much as possible. What are the challenges of doing both things? And as an extra question, what are the challenges and how have you gotten better in dropping in coverage as well from that outside backer spot?
Yeah, okay. So
I know that was a lot of questions at once.
No, it's okay.
Look, he's like 40. He can remember.
Yeah, that's right. He's good. He's in good shape.
Yeah, the most challenging thing about it is just being able to transition your mind from I'm about to go get the quarterback to I'm going to have to drop back and cover somebody the very next snap. And it just differs play to play, you know. But just being able to go back and forth, I think that would be the hardest part. But I think what Bateman does a good job with is just putting me in a position to know, like, when I'm a pass rush versus when I'm being covered, just based on, like, down distance and things like that.
Yeah. So if I remember correctly, you said your dad was a big part of your growing up and really helped you mature when you were a little bit younger and still at home. Could you tell us a little bit about just that relationship with you and your dad?
Yeah. My dad, that's like the rock. So he helped me get to where I am today. He started this. It was his idea for me to play football. I didn't even want to play football when I was younger. But look where it got me now. But he's there with me every step of the way, on the field, off the field, everything I need. And he's also helps everybody else on the team too. Everybody he comes in contact with, he's always trying to help him just get better.
Yeah, look where it got you now, talking to Jones.
Yeah,
it doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, big time.
You mentioned, I think you just said that you didn't play football until eighth grade. That seems late. What were you doing prior to eighth grade, and what made you decide, well, I might want to give this a shot?
Prior to eighth grade, I was just a regular student. I didn't do anything at all. You know, my talent is drawing, so I did that a lot. My dad helped me with that too because he's an artist. But I was really just up to him. He asked me to play football. I told him no like 20 times. And then eventually I just cracked and I played football. I also played basketball that first year too.
People who can draw and are artistic just blow my mind because I can't do it at all. Like, when did you realize that was something that a skill that you had?
Like little, like I got a picture from kindergarten of me drawing something from The Lion King. Like I've always been doing it because it's just something that's fun to me.
Really? So it's, are you like in a different mindset when you're doing, I mean, because we're talking about like, here's artistic Tamon, yeah. And here's dude who's going out and getting more sacks than Lawrence Taylor. How are your mindset different in those two things?
It's definitely like more common, I would say, just because I like to do it in my free time. Like when I'm trying to chill, relax, yeah. Let me go pick up a pencil and draw something on some paper versus football. I'm more energetic and things like that.
What do you like about expressing yourself through artwork? Like, how is that different than the other ways people express themselves?
I love it just because I know I'm not great with my words. Like, people could, like, write poems, you know, write long essays and things like that. I'm not the best at it, but I know I could put my, like, emotions and put me into a picture and, like, make people understand it.
What's your favorite picture that you've done? I mean, do you have one or two where you look at it and you go, yeah, Tamon, you were on it that day?
Yeah, so this past year I picked up painting. And so my two favorite pieces are just this one picture I drew of like a hand with some strings attached to a heart, just like playing someone's heart. And then I also have a picture of the Joker because I like the Joker.
All right, I feel like I've seen the Joker one before. I feel like maybe I saw that. We got to get pictures of these two. Can you get them for us?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to work on that. Now, you also did the patch that was on the uniform last year, and I think it's still there, right? Mm-hmm. It's still on uniform this year. Take us through that process and why that was something important to you to be a part of.
Yeah, so everybody knows that racial equality was really big last year it's big every year, but last year, I mean, there's just an explosion with it across the nation. And me and the team, we just wanted to do something to show support for everything that's going on. And more than just like one community, we wanted to show support for unity for all communities.
Jake Lawler told me that you designed his tattoo. Is there more pressure when you're designing something that's going permanently on someone's body?
Yeah. So Jake, he had asked me to draw him a tattoo that's on his arm right now. And, yeah, it is some pressure because, you know, it's going to be on him forever. And that everyone that he encounters is going to see it. So you need to make sure everybody likes it.
But, I mean, not only is it on his arm right now.
Yeah.
It's on his arm for a good long time to come as well. Is that something that would interest you? Because, like, that's a whole nother realm of artistry.
Yeah, so just recently, I mean, only like my roommate and a couple people know, but I did just order like a tattoo machine. I've been practicing at home.
Whoa, Adam, you got a scoop.
And I got a guy who can do my tattoos.
Yeah,
finally.
Now we're in good shape. Do you have any tattoos?
Oh, me? Yeah, I have plenty of tattoos.
Really?
Did you design them?
I designed some of them on my arm and then in my chest.
Okay, so now wait a minute. So you order a tattoo machine.
I didn't even know that was like a thing that you could order.
Yeah,
a
like can I go on the internet and like look on Amazon and be like tattoo machine?
Yeah, you actually could get one on Amazon.
I don't feel like I would trust that though, Tamon. Is that the best one to get?
You should probably go to like a certain brand, go to their specific website. That'd probably be the best way to go.
Okay, so when it arrived, has it come yet?
Oh yeah, I've had it for about a week.
Okay, so when your tattoo machine arrives, what's the next step? What do you do next?
Have you given anyone a tattoo?
Yeah, do you put out a sign or what?
Nah, so right now I ordered my tattoo machine, then I ordered like some stencils and then some practice paper, or practice skins, I should say, and a whole bunch of
Whoa,
ink.
Whoa, practice skins?
Yeah.
Do you have to get like different ink and stuff?
Yeah, right now I'm just using just some regular black ink, just working on the basics, very basics of tattooing.
Nice. Who do you feel like is going to be your first, I don't want to say victim, customer?
Probably my roommate, Tyrone Hopper. Yeah, he'll probably be my first.
There you go.
Does Tyrone know that?
Yeah, I was about to say, Tyrone doesn't even know that yet. okay, so your brother's on the team, of course. Mm-hmm. Now, I have always heard that you're the very, like, kind of low-key, straightforward one. Tamari's a little bit more out there. Is that an accurate description?
Yeah, that's the perfect description of how we are.
All right, so how would you, like, give us a good example of Tamari that only his brother would know that could sum him up for us?
I mean, well, at first sight, you see Tamari, like, in person outside of football. You see just based on his clothing, he wears bright colors, like, everywhere. Like, he wears some tie-dye Crocs to some polka dot shirt. Or I don't know. So he's always bright with what he's wearing, and then he has this deep voice that just doesn't match his the way he's dressed. And it's just funny.
I was going to ask you about that. So I heard that everybody has like a pretty good Tamari Fox impression. Like, yeah. Do you have a Tamari impression?
Yeah, he sounds like that. He'll walk in the room, and he'll be like, "Hey, you guys."
I assume that everybody gives him a little bit of grief for that. Is that accurate? What does Tamari, like, if you were scouting Tamari, what do you think he does well?
This dude, I mean, he's powerful. He's a powerful dude. Like, he probably is stronger than me by now. I'll go out there and say it. You know what I'm saying? I saw my pride, but he probably is stronger than me now. And then that, just behind that, he's also a very twitchy and explosive player too. So he's great in a run, and he's also catch people lacking in the pass game.
Do you like – I mean, this may sound like a weird question. Do you like having your brother on the team? I mean, obviously you guys have been together for a long time. Is that cool, or would you rather you guys have your own path?
No, I like him. I like having him on the team just because he's right there with me all the time. I just got something to look at. Like, okay, I got to show him that I'm still like the big brother and everything. You know? It's just very competitive, I would say.
Well, and that was something I was going to ask you about because I've heard you say your dad's pretty competitive too. So what was it like growing up in the Fox household with competitive dad and two future Division I athletes?
Man, this the weight room, like whenever we went to the gym, it was just crazy. Like, I'll tell you, the sessions be like 2 hours long, 2.5 hours long. And we just always trying to, my dad trying to push me to put more weight on. I'm trying to push Tamari to put my weight on. And I'm just trying to stay ahead of him. I'm also trying to catch up to my dad at the same time. So it's just really competitive out there.
So Dez Evans is talented young player, same position that you play there at the outside backer. How have you tried to help Dez come along to help him individually and help the team?
Yeah, so with Dez, I definitely feel like the big thing with him this year that he's improved on so much, just his mental game, just being able to understand football, because he was always very talented. You know, he was very athletic. He's tall. He got speed. And he's always stronger than what he looks. So I think the biggest thing that I try to help him with is just being able to understand the defense, just knowing what offense may do to you, what we should expect, and different things.
Is leadership something that comes naturally to you, or is that something that you had to kind of figure that out and grow into that role?
Yeah, I've always tried to lead by example because I always try to do the right thing. I don't want everybody else to do the right thing. But just being the more vocal part is something I had to learn as I came to college.
You've already graduated, right?
Yes, sir.
What's it like to be a college football player who has graduated, this thing you've had to balance for all these years, and now you're like, hey, guys, you can come look at my diploma if you want to.
Yeah, no, it's always good to look at my diploma. That's also another thing that makes you feel old because, you know, it's like I've been got my diploma.
All right, so – obviously not the way that you guys wanted to start the season on Friday. Get that. How do you keep all that in perspective, though, that it was disappointing, but just one game?
You just got to look at the game critically, not be too in your feelings when you're looking at film and trying to understand, like, what happened during the game. You just got to look at it critically and think, like, what happened? What did we do wrong? What could we do better? And I feel like we did a great job of that this weekend, and we installed everything that we need to on Sunday.
So what did you see when you looked at that film? What were some of the areas that – defensively, at least, you guys wanted to improve on?
Yeah, so defensively, I think the biggest thing, we'll say the biggest two things would be just the communication part. You know, being down there, being in Blacksburg, that stadium is always crazy. It's super loud. And just being able to communicate better on the field, be able to talk to each other. And also another thing we talked about was our tackling. Then, you know, it's the first game of the year, but there's no excuse. We practice it all offseason.
What was the atmosphere? I mean, I don't want to act like it like completely changed the game, but was it you hadn't played in front of big crowds for 2 years? I mean, was it a little bit of a shock to the system to be in front of a big crowd again?
And I think it was for the young guys just because they came in like last year, had no fans, but I'm used to it, so I've been waiting for that to happen again, just be able to play in front of some fans.
What are you looking forward to about Saturday, about getting to be in a full Keenan Stadium instead of sort of a eight nights empty Keenan Stadium?
Yeah, I'm just happy to be out there with all the fans. You know, I just miss being out there because we're so like interactive with them while we're, and during the game and after the game. So I'm just happy to see them out there.
All right, what is what's when football at Carolina is done? What's the next step? What's the next goal for Tamon Fox?
Oh, the next goal would definitely be to go to the NFL. That's my next goal.
Who do you like watching play at that level?
Definitely Khalil Mack. Because I think I could do some of the things he does. Von Miller, of course. You know, there's Cam Jones. There's just those guys like that. I feel like I could try to do what they do and then put me in a good position.
Is there anything you've seen them do that you've picked up and you feel like added to your repertoire that's made you a more effective player?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like in the NFL, it's all about being able to play with a low pad level, and this is speed and working the edge of a man, so always trying to work down the middle and things like that. And also another thing we noticed about with the NFL guys is active hands. Like even if your first move doesn't work, you go back to another move, and that'll eventually get you there.
Okay. I asked this question in no way to say something negative about Coach Fedora or the previous staff, because I know Coach Fedora is the one that brought you here, of course.
Yeah.
But what changed when Mac Brown arrived, and how has he improved the culture or changed the culture, whatever it is that's happened? How has it happened so quickly, in your opinion?
Oh, yeah. So I think just because my last 2 years with Coach Fedora, we had the two losing seasons, and I think it wasn't the coach's fault, it wasn't the player's fault, it was just the team's fault that we got to that point. But when Coach Brown came in, for all the old heads, it was kind of just like a clean slate, starting off with no wins, no losses. We just work our way from there, and then everybody just bought into what he was saying.
Now, we've clarified that people do impressions of Tamari. I feel like Coach Brown might be ripe for people to do Mac Brown impressions. Do people do those?
Yeah, Brian Anderson has the best.
Oh,
Mac Brown.
Okay, we've had Brian on before, but we didn't know that information when we had him on.
You gotta get Brian.
Anybody else we should talk to about that? How about Tamon Fox?
Yeah, we just know that whenever we're talking to Coach Brown, he thinks he says something right or he is right. He always says facts out there, and he wants us to repeat it. So he's going to keep saying facts until we repeat.
Tamon, for somebody who is probably, I feel like I've missed my window to ever be able to sack a quarterback. What's that like? Like, what's it like to actually get a sack and you're getting off the ground and you realize, I just did it and all these people are going crazy because of me?
Yeah, I think getting a sack got to be the best thing. Like, it might be better than getting a touchdown. I don't know. That's what it is to me. Getting a touchdown on defense is getting a sack. Just then getting up, as soon as you get up, all your boys jumping on you, things like that, and then you look in the crowd, everybody going crazy. You end it, they drive, and you give the ball back to the offense. This is a great feeling.
Do you ever say anything to the quarterback, or do you just get up?
Man, I just leave him be. Ain't no, he already feeling bad. He got sacked.
Great stuff from both Claudia Dickey and Tamon Fox. We appreciate their time. Adam, it is a little jarring to realize that Tamon Fox started to play at Carolina when the freshmen were in middle school.
When you said 2016, that felt like decades ago.
Yeah. Tar Heels hadn't even won the 17 national title yet at that point. That's crazy.
Tamon just likes to sit on his front porch in his rocking chair and watch the cars go by.
So great stuff from Tamon. And don't worry, Adam has said that if I do indeed stop shots from Aaron Mattson, that he will let Tamon Fox give him a tattoo. So seems like a fair trade as far as I'm concerned. Maybe Adam will get a cell phone tattooed on his bicep, so it has to be one of those tiny little Nokia ones from from the 2000s. But just to remind him all the time that texting while driving takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. And at highway speeds, that's like driving the length of a football field with your eyes closed. Trusted Choice, independent insurance agents of North Carolina, want you to stay safe behind the wheel. So put down your phone while driving. Let's have a hands-free NC. To learn more, find an agent near you. You can visit trustedchoice.com/goheels. Adam, you know what that means. We got our game face on. Let's just get to it. 5 second challenge.
Okay, Jones. There are on the current Tar Heel football roster.
Current Tar Heel football roster.
Something with which you are very familiar.
I know the roster.
There are 6 players who are the sons of former Mac Brown Tar Heels.
Wow. Okay. Sons of former Adam's sons of former Mac Brown Tar Heels. Can you elaborate a little bit on this?
By sons, you mean not daughters.
Okay, I feel where you're coming from, I think.
Can you name those 6? Your 5 seconds begin right now.
All right, well, we know Caleb Hood, and we know Jeffrey Saturday. Oh, the quarterback, the big tall guy. Oh, no, Jefferson Boas!
Time. just barely under the whistle there. Okay. You said Caleb Hood.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Felt good.
The son of Errol Hood.
Yep.
Of course, that's correct.
Now, Errol did not technically play for Mack Brown, but was recruited by Mack Brown.
A Mack Brown Tar Heel.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Saturday.
Yeah, nailed that. Knew that one.
The son of Jeff Saturday.
One of our BFFs.
Former podcast.
Hey, I'm Jeff Saturday. See you later, Big Grits.
With plenty of time to spare, yeah. You said the big tall guy, the quarterback, by which, of course, you meant Jefferson Boaz.
Yeah, that one counted. That one counted.
The son of Jay Boaz.
Yeah, that one counted.
Okay, now that the pressure's off, do you want to name the others, or shall I tell you?
No, I want you to tell me.
Okay. One we've talked about here before, Christopher Holiday.
Oh, yeah.
Christopher the son Holiday. Of Corey.
Yep.
Drake May.
That one probably should have gotten that one, yeah.
And Will Crowley.
You know what?
Pat Crowley.
I knew it was Crowley, and I was thinking Lucas Crowley, and I knew that wasn't quite right. And I said, there's a Crowley in there. Mm. I knew there was a Crowley. Drake May should have gotten. Christopher Holiday slipped my mind. But, I mean, Hood and Drake May and Jeffrey Saturday, those three should have gotten. Boaz, I just couldn't quite remember. Just couldn't quite remember his first name for a second.
Well, wait a second. I got a question.
Yeah.
I got this out of the game notes.
Mm-hmm.
Mark May didn't play for Mack Brown.
Yeah, that's right. He left right before.
Because Deems May started at quarterback in Mack Brown's first game.
So take that one off my... Adam, you have yet again given me a confusing question that you ruined, and I take no responsibility for the not getting 100% in the five-second challenge.
That's what it said on the card.
No.
Why does it say that? That's not right.
Nope. Good job, Adam. Mm. I blame you. I'm sure Jefferson Boaz will appreciate that I said big, tall guy because he is tall.
Yeah, big, tall guy quarterback.
Yeah.
That's clearly Jefferson Boaz.
Clearly. Just had to connect those dots for a second. Say, Jefferson Boaz is a heck of an athlete, by the way. You watch him out there running around, you're like, whoa, it's like a gazelle.
He's got a younger brother who's also a heck of an athlete, a left-handed pitcher.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Going to be a Tar Heel.
Oh, well, I'm excited to hear that.
Yep.
What up, Boaz family?
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe next week's the week, Adam.
Clean again.
Next week is the week that we lock it in.
I feel like on this episode especially, the sponsors have to be so proud that mm-hmm. they're involved with high-quality, clean production like this
one. Yep, everything's going just fine. Okay, Adam.
Yes.
Let's get to our Champions Watch. Brought to you by UNC Health, dedicated to caring for champions of all kinds and to help keep you in the game and at your very best. Check their lineup at unchealthcare.org/sports. unchealthcare.org/sports. This is where Adam will check the schedule.
Hopefully correctly.
And give us a couple of things to keep an eye on this weekend outside of football or basketball around the Tar Heels. Adam, what you got?
A lot of Tar Heel teams on the road this weekend, unfortunately. If you're coming into town for football, a lot of times it's fun to go watch other Tar Heel teams, and you're probably not going to be able to do that this weekend. The game to watch tonight, Friday, men's soccer at number 3-ranked Pitt in the ACC opener. That's tonight at 7 o'clock. That's on ACC Network Extra, so you can stream it. Men's soccer, perhaps a little more potent offensively this year. So, big one tonight.
Yeah, we mentioned this on the video pod. I mean, the men's soccer team has been successful for a long time, but they have really, in the past, kind of their MO has been a really good defensive team and, you know, some lower scoring games. But they have really opened the floodgates offensively this year so far. A lot of shots. We talked about that 50-shot game a couple of weeks ago. And so best of luck to the gentlemen as they take on Pitt.
Women's soccer is on the road, couple matches down in Florida. Volleyball's on the road with some big matches that have kind of come and gone off the schedule against Big Ten opponents.
Yeah, so one of them got canceled, and now they're playing Duke.
In Michigan. In a non-conference game.
Hmm.
That'll be easy to understand.
Yeah.
Field hockey.
Just like when the Tar Heels play Wake this year and Notre Dame, and neither one of them count in the league.
Field hockey's got a couple matches up in Philadelphia. So A lot of Tar Heel squads traveling.
Okay. Adam, should we get to your list?
Sure.
What's on the top of Adam's list? Brought to you by Top of the Hill, where Tar Heels come to celebrate.
Okay, real quick, before you begin your list, Miles sent out a tweet this week about some of the gamer lingo that User taught us.
Sure.
I had forgotten not just the gaming lingo that User told us, but just like the whole lingo of that interview. I felt like I learned all kinds of new words in that interview.
Have you tried to put them into practice in your daily life?
No, but I am hoping that To the Baja does occur at some point this year.
It's all up to you, Tony Grimes.
Yeah, if the Tar Heels can take a pick to the house, or as User likes to call it, a book.
Right.
And take the book to the library, Adam. You're going to be taking it to the Baja.
If you could drop this in the exterior return box, spine first at the library, and check it off on your library card, that'll be exciting.
I mean, Adam, what if Tony Grimes, or whichever Tar Heel, gets an interception and runs it back for a touchdown, and I say something like, to the Baja he goes?
Yeah, I think you should.
I do like that one, to the Baja.
Do you think that Brian Simmons will give you a blank look, or will he immediately catch the reference and be like, yeah?
Nah, Brian's pretty hip. I bet he knows what's up.
He does a lot of gaming.
I don't know about that, but Brian's a worldly man. He knows all that.
I think that Lee Pace says that all the time.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's right.
I've read that in a couple of extra points columns.
That's right.
Dre Bly taking it to the Baja again, guys.
Another book. Okay, sorry. I hijacked the beginning of your list.
Okay. We talked about that Virginia game, not this Saturday, but next Saturday. Mm-hmm. Now, that game was sold out.
Oh.
However, the Cavaliers have returned some tickets. That's fine if you don't want to come to Chapel Hill. We'll just have Tar Heels buy them all. So if you wanted to go to that game but you got shut out, those tickets are back available again through all your usual ticketing outlets. Mm. So just keep that in mind. Another thing that's back, Jones, several people mentioned this to us, are Lime Skittles.
Yeah, they're back. Again, it really grinds my gears, Adam.
Whoa.
That Skittles keeps doing this where they're like, oh, look at us. We're going to give you some limes. Just put them back in. There is not one human being alive. And if there is one, I don't want to know this gentleman or madam who likes the whatever the lime supposed to or the green supposed to be now compared to the lime. There isn't one. So don't just put the lime back in.
Just admit your mistake.
No one likes the green apple. Just put the lime back in. Just put it back in. Don't do these special and be all coy about it. Be like, oh, if you have enough people buy these lime Skittles, we'll put them back in. Just put them back in. Just put them back in. No one likes green apple.
We know, of course, overseas, lime Skittles still an option, but you might get stuck with currant or black currant or whatever. But speaking of overseas, Angie Flynn McKeever, Angie's daughter Nora, is going to university in Scotland. And she's hoping to get some info from other Heels fans in the UK about how they watch or listen to the games. Angie knows there are a few who listen to the pod. That's right. So can anyone give some recommendations, either actual recommendations or someone Angie could tweet at to ask how Nora can watch and or listen to the Heels in the UK?
By the way, I think that Varsity Network app is going to grab hold. Like, I've been keeping an eye on it because, as we said, it's still very, very new. But each time I look at it, I think, this has gotten a little better. Like, the labeling's getting better. It's more user-friendly. Like, it's clearly still a work in progress. I think it's going to be really good.
I've used it a couple times.
Yeah, how's the way? It works well?
Yeah.
I feel good about it.
Stuff was easy to find.
That's the key.
Yeah.
See, when you're doing stuff like this, it has to be really, really simple. Because nobody wants to work hard to get this stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, and I don't mean like just us. I just mean in general. I mean, we've all been there, right? You think, oh, you know what? I'm going to make this little bit of effort to do this, but then I've got to go through this, all these other steps. And you're like, eh, no one wants that. Just make it easy.
Yeah.
I think they've done a good job making it easy. So I assume you can download the Varsity Network app in Scotland. I don't know why you couldn't.
I would think so.
Yeah. And you can download your favorite podcast app if it's not just already there on your phone. And look, boom, then you've got us. What more do you need? Varsity Network app, us. Then lock yourself in your room. Use GoPuff International if that's available. And rock and roll from that point forward.
Why does it sound so much smarter to go to university than to go to college?
I don't know.
It does, though.
It does. Probably, especially when you say it with that spot-on English accent that you use sometimes.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
That really is the difference maker, I think.
Carrie Oasis' backyard, huh?
By the way, did you see that Jay on Twitter sent us that he had gotten the whole shebang? The super seasoned snacks? Yeah.
Did he say how they are?
He said, oh, yes, they will be mine. You guys should get a commission.
Did they make his mouth raw?
He didn't. No follow-up. He just showed us a picture of the bag.
Jay.
Yeah, Jay, let us know.
What happened with the whole shebang?
Yeah. Give us the final call on the bag.
Dusty Tompkins has two tickets for tomorrow's game, Georgia State. They're next to pod legend Dusty Tompkins. I mean, if that's not enough. He would like to offer them to Tar Heel first responders on 9/11. So if you are one of those or you know someone who'd like to go to the game, contact us through one of the various contact methods and we'll put you and Dusty in touch. Very nice gesture by Dusty.
Absolutely.
As people are often so generous with their tickets and with us, so that was very nice.
Don't you worry, Dusty. One day we are going to get you here in Pod World headquarters that you paid for in the auction low many years ago, right before COVID knocked us all out.
I forgot to mention this. Remember when Jacob Bonenberger left me out of the movie trailer playlist?
Yes, I do remember that.
Well, Jacob has rectified that. He has sent me a link to this playlist on Spotify. You can find it if you look up Trailer Park It.
That's funny.
That'll give you direct access to the playlist with all the cool slowed down movie trailer type songs. It'll get you fired up. I'm just going to warn you. Don't listen to it while you're driving because you'll find yourself just slowly speeding up.
Yeah.
And getting hype.
Yep.
And you don't want that to happen.
By the way, you don't know this, but I knew that Jacob had sent you an email because he and I exchanged emails talking about the fact that he had sent you an email. So, Adam, just know that I'm essentially big brother to you where I know every move you're making, Lucas.
I can't move my arm without seeing these puppet strings.
That's why I was like, you know what's going to happen? I alone want to talk to Claudia Dickey, so I'm going to make Adam's head earpiece not work so he doesn't know what's happening.
Thanks, Geppetto. Really appreciate all your hard work on the pod. And then last thing on the list, Nasir Little and Coby White, essentially, how can you justifying that, the Barstool bench mob?
Okay, so I think this is a how can you, I mean, it's clearly a how can you justify that. However, I think it was done just to get the reaction
right,
so that people would be talking about it. So if you hadn't seen it, it was, they put out the list of the best college basketball rivalries and put Louisville, Kentucky number one and Carolina Duke number two. Look, that there's no doubt that that's a how can you justify that if it was done earnestly and someone like Pat Forty really believes it. This was not done earnestly, in my opinion.
It was to get clicks and retweets and Nasir Little.
And have people argue about it and have Coby White and Nasir Little.
Right.
So, job well done on the viral marketing part of it. I can't believe that they actually believe that.
Something much more entertaining about Louisville is their constant saga, which continues with basketball. The Louisville paper now has audio that they got through Freedom of Information Act of Dino Gaudio showing up at the basketball office and being told he couldn't meet with Chris Mack and he had to meet with some assistant ADs or something. And the whole thing is incredible. That's the most underrated soap opera of the summer as far as I'm concerned. So look up all the various Chris Mack, Dino Gaudio, Louisville newspaper stories because they're fun.
I don't know if you saw this. Our friends our friend Dalton Shabby sent us this, where the band Mouse Rat from the show Parks and Rec, who sings our Little Sebastian song, 5,000 Candles in the Wind, they now have an album that hit the Billboard charts. And so our sweet prince, Little Sebastian, is now officially a chart topper.
Doesn't surprise us.
No.
Stand in line with Rebecca Black as two members of the pod who have been on the top of the pops.
Yeah. Also, one of Miles's memes that he sent out involved that we talked about at the beginning of the show involved the picture of my golf shot.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, that was a really good shot.
Is that the photo of your actual shot?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, that's it. I'm looking at it right now.
I thought it was, but I just wanted to confirm.
I mean, look at that. Yeah. Adam and I are looking at it right now. Look at that.
Yeah.
Look how close it was.
It's incredible. The way the sun broke through the clouds outside when you put that picture up was amazing.
But I am using the mouse to show the minuscule distance between my ball and the hole. Adam, what if that had gone in?
I think that would have made it less fun. You can barely get put the mouse finger over there.
Yeah.
You can barely get mouse finger in between ball and hole.
Yeah. We should have brought Gene Steratore out there to put an index card in between the two.
Yeah.
By the way, that first interception should have been reviewed when Justin Olsen caught it and then had it ripped out of his hands after he was already on the ground. Why didn't that get reviewed?
I think...
Tread lightly, Adam. We don't need the ACC coming after us.
Well,
while you're answering that, I got to show you something, but you keep talking.
Okay. I think there's a little bit of confusion in college football about getting things reviewed and can you challenge, when should you challenge. Like that, on a change of possession, if you're pretty confident that it should be reviewed, that's worth a timeout. But it all happened so quickly that it felt like nobody ever really got on the same page. And I think there's this assumption now, oh, I don't need to call a timeout because it'll be reviewed. But I can't imagine that it ever was.
I thought, Mac Brown was asked about this in the middle of the week about review and just the process of review. And he said he thought there was too much emphasis placed on the call on the field. And I don't know how to fix it. I don't disagree with him, but I also don't know how to fix it. Because his whole point was, once you make that call on the field, it takes like an act from above to get that thing overturned. And on some plays that are close, like that one was, it shouldn't be, you have to move heaven and earth to overturn it. It should be, let's look at it. And yes, I think that this should be overturned. It shouldn't have to be this incredible burden of proof, which I don't disagree and understand his point. But I also don't know how to make it any better on plays like that. I do think that play should have absolutely been stopped, though, in this particular instance. And that isn't the sole reason the Tar Heels lost the game. Don't get us wrong. But that was a big play.
Well, changes of possession, scoring plays, these are determinative plays in a game. And that was one of the determinative plays in the game.
So, Adam, what I leaned over to show you was, look at this. Now, this would have been a lot cooler if the Tar Heels had won. We got a commemorative coin.
Wow. How'd you get that?
I know people, Adam. We have a commemorative Jim Phillips first ACC game as commissioner of the ACC coin from the Tar Heel Virginia Tech game. Unfortunately, this isn't a game that I want to look at this coin and be like, what a fine evening that was for the Tar Heels. But I thought it was cool enough that I'd hang on to it and add it to our challenge coin collection.
And it came in a handy case.
Yeah, it's protected.
We had, so that now makes 8 in our coin collection.
Yeah. Maybe we'll sell them on eBay one day and we'll be billionaires.
Maybe there'll be it's not a Bitcoin. It's a football coin. Maybe there'll be a Hubert Davis coin.
Yeah.
I've heard you can even get coins in some classes at Carolina.
This would be a good one to flip.
Yeah.
In the future if we need.
Was that the coin flipped for the coin flip before the game? Like, is that the one they used?
This type of coin?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I bet it was.
I bet it was too. Man. Gentlemen, moving on up.
Gentlemen, the side that says Commissioner Jim Phillips is, of course, heads.
The two logos of the team are tails, which never fails. Have I mentioned that we're fancy-like? Okay, Adam, anything else?
No.
All right, let's see the Tar Heels play great this weekend. Let's play great. Let's win the game if you're the Tar Heels. 7:30 Saturday night, Keenan Stadium, Carolina and Georgia State. We will be on the air full network-wise at 6:30. A reminder of a couple things. Varsity Network app if you're streaming. Go Heels app if you're streaming. Both of those are free, easy to use, audio available. We made the change in the triangle. And I have said this a couple of times. I know I need to keep telling you. The stronger signal is the AM, 680 AM for PTF. I know you see 98.5 FM and you just think FM, that's a very small station, the 98.5. It's just a little fill-in station for them. 680 AM is the big one. I know that may be counterintuitive to what you're thinking. 680 is the big signal. Of course, CHL right there in Chapel Hill as well, 1360 and 97.9. So, you got lots of options. GoHeels.com has it for free. A lot of different options. We'd love for you to join us. And don't forget about SyncMyGame.com. I had forgotten about it in the offseason, but that's a great way. Use that app because the app's going to probably be a little bit behind the TV action. So just pause the TV, have your app, wait for some marker like a kickoff or something. Hopefully we're accurate on telling you when it was happening. Then you start your app again, start the stream again, boom, you're matched up, easy to go.
My app was ahead of the stream,
which
actually made it better because I could pause the app.
That's what I meant.
Catch them up.
Wait, did I say the wrong way? I think I said it the wrong way, but you knew what I meant, Adam.
Yeah.
So all that's there. You have to do a little bit of pausing and unpausing depending on which is ahead and which is behind, but it's
worth it.
You can do it. Brian Sim is going to be back with us this week and the rest of the year. Looking forward to having Brian in the booth, Lee down on the sideline. Ah, we're all back in our home state. Okay, for now. Oh, we don't have a Claudia Dickey.
No, we don't.
We don't have a Claudia Dickey. See you later, Big Grits. We fumbled.
Yeah.
It's because Adam couldn't hear.
Yeah. Even if she did it, I wouldn't know.
Yeah. So it's going to have to be just Tamon Fox.
You can do it, Tamon.
Yeah. Tamon, you're carrying a heavy load here. For dual guests, but just one see you later, Big Grits. Tamon Fox and the RZA will get us out of here on the latest edition of the Carolina Insider.
I'm Tamon Fox. See you later, Big Grits.
When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat grits for dinner.
Pound box of sugar and a stick of margarine. A hot pot of grits kept my family from starving. Steamy hot meal served less than 5 minutes. Big silver pot boiling water salt in it. House full of brothers and sisters, the pot's missing. Pilgrim on a box on the stove in the kitchen.
When I was small, we had nothing at all.
The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Tar Heel Sports Network.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding in your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.